go. Head On with Bob Kincaid. 3 hours of conversation, cussing, and a discussing with America's only born and bred Southern liberal talk host. Head On with Bob Kincaid is brought to you each night by Coal River Mountain Watch. Coal River Mountain Watch invites you to become part of the solution, part of a sustainable future, part of the uprising against mountaintop removal. Coal River Mountain Watch, CRMW.net. And now, from high in the hills of beautiful West Bicod, Virginia, here's Bob Kincaid on the Head On Radio Network.
Well, howdy. And here we go. We are off and running on Friday on the front porch, on the horn, for this Friday, the 14th of December, 2018. We're very nearly, to the halfway point of December. Let's see, 31, take away 14. That's 17 days left in 2018. And yeah, move along now. Don't wear out your welcome. Time to get the new one on. Hi, I'm Bob Kincaid, and yes, it is Friday on the front porch here at the Horn. HeadOn.live is where you'll find us online. That, of course, is where you go if you would like to pick out a screen name and a password, and you happen to be listening live. Come on by and click on chat room, grab a screen name, grab a password if you haven't before, jump right in. Little Thunder and Otto and Reggie and the Warrior Witch all await you. More will be arriving shortly before the tardy bell rings. And, of course, this evening you will be moderated by Pinch Hit Midweek Utility Chat Room moderator and all-around great guy, Steve from Georgistan, because Sparky is under the weather. He started feeling like crud last night and bailed out. Thanks to Steve for picking up the slack that way. That was mighty kind. And so this evening, with this Friday on the front porch upon us, little wrinkle, this is one of those evenings when I'll be running the front porch. I will try not to run the front porch into the ground. But I won't be quite as efficient or smooth about it as Sparky would because, Sulu never had so many buttons to worry about pushing. I mean, and there stood Scotty at the transporter, and it was just, I mean, I've got faders and slides like Scotty had on the transporter, but I've got equipment to the left of me, equipment to the front of me, equipment to the right of me. I attack. Yes. Get historical reference there. Some people will get it. Yeah, most of the people will get it. This is, after all, one of the sharpest radio audiences on planet Earth. Thank you very kindly, Brother Deacon Asa, letting me know. Hot on both on both mics, Senator Kincaid. Yes, Senator Kincaid, sure. In the Senate that exists only in my mind. Yes, we of course have thanks to send out this evening. We have thanks to send out most every evening of the month to our subscribers to get things started. Thank you very kindly to Matt in San Francisco. Thank you, Matt, so very, very much. And thank you to Ralphs. Thank you, Ralphs, for all that you do to keep things on the air. Among other things, Ralphs is also the sponsor of the Trash Fits Walker Stand Challenge, which will come to a close this month if we can just meet our fundraising goal for the month of December. And I'll go ahead and mention this as well. We have, as far as fundraising goes, we have to finish this week, and we're behind, and it stands at 548, but it just went to 538, thanks to Robert. Thank you, Robert, very, very kindly for getting us started this evening. 538 to go to finish the week and to finally allow me to do a bit more bill paying. Because, and I have good news. We have had a miraculous healing of the of the Horn Skype laptop. If you're listening carefully, you might not hear that roaring fan from the ancient laptop I've been using for the last few days. Ran across the river today and sprung for a USB keyboard because I had to have this one in line this evening because technology, because it had the access to the gizmo that we use to send the program up to Progressive Voices when I fill in for Mike Malloy, which, by the way, I'm doing this evening at 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. I invite you all to come on by the Malloy campfire, and we'll cuss and discuss and see what's going on. Mike's a little under the weather, and so I got a call from Kathy earlier today, and she said, "Would you?" And I said, "Happy to." And so I'll be leading the campfire sing along around the Malloy campfire this evening at 9 p.m. I really do hope you'll all join in. A reminder: we don't have the video thing going on here, so if you want to listen to Malloy, you have to listen at Progressive Voices. And I always get a kick out of it, and I've been doing my research all day and getting ready and everything. But no sooner did I bring home the little $10 USB keyboard, then lo and behold, the laptop decided it was feeling all better, and I got my keyboard back. I have no idea why, but that's how it worked out. So that's where things. Believe you me, I'm happy. On the other hand, thanks to everybody who sent me remedies for the iPad. Bupkis. Yeah, can't tell you. And I have no idea where the nearest Apple Store Genius Bar is. It's probably over the river and through the woods, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. But the darn thing, when it's plugged up to the power, it'll show you the white... The white Apple screen with the Apple logo, and it'll stay on for about 5 seconds, and then it goes black. Then it comes back on, and the screen goes black. And it comes back on, and the screen goes black. Ad infinitum. If, on the other hand, you try to do a restore or an update, and you plug it into, say, a device with iTunes on it, precisely nothing happens. And it doesn't matter if you press the home button and the power button, or the home button and the up rocker button, or the home button and the down rocker button, or if you stand out in the goddamn rain on one leg with your mouth open, turned upward, pleading at an uncaring universe while waving your iPad over. It does not matter. So there we go. I'll keep working on that over the weekend. Oh, be joyful. But again, I'm not complaining. We've got the good Skype laptop back, and that makes me very happy. And it means that, and by the way, with Sparky being down, I'm hosting Friday on the Front Porch. Thank you very kindly. This just came in from Steve. This is from Karen. That Miss Karen is a lovely human being, by the way. I'm tickled to death to get to meet her a couple of weekends back. She's still working. Won't be home till around 11 p.m. This is the overtime season for the workers at the United States Postal Service. She called me and said not to forget to send this along to you. Thank you, Miss Karen. Thank you very, very kindly. Please extend our warmest thanks to her, Steve. Very much indeed. So, hey. That's progress. We are now down to 518, and we're only 9 minutes into the program and only $518 to get done with the week. Hopefully more will happen as we move along. Now, as to Friday on the Front Porch, since we've got a short program this evening, since I'll be knocking off at 8 because I got to turn everything around and retool it and rename it, and there's baptisms and incantations involved, and God only knows what else. before I sub for Mike. We're going to get going on the front porch, lickety split. And again, just a general reminder. The last update of Skype changed everything. It used to be really easy. You'd have a call going on, and somebody would call in, and you could click a little box that says, add this call to group. Well, you can't do that anymore because that worked entirely too well, and things that work well are not welcome. They are, in fact, anathema out in Redmond, Washington, at the home of Microsoft, who now owns Skype. Because, as we say in the hills and hollers, Microsoft could fuck up a one-car funeral. But I will be, I'll be riding herd on the Extraordinary Ordinary Roundtable group over there in the old holler tree that we sublet from the Keebler Elves. And if you want to take part, well, shoot me a note on Skype, Bob Kincaid Horn, BobKincaidHorn, and I'll do what I can to get you into the conversation. If you can't use Skype, remember we do have the, we do have the stress line, and that can be accessed toll-free if you need somebody to pay the freight, if you don't have some sort of free long-distance on your cell phone or whatever phone you're using, then you can dial 844-843-4676. That's 844-THE-HORN. Or you can dial locally 304, if you don't have to worry about long-distance, 304-640-2829. Okay? Does that make everything just clear as flipping mud? Yeah. Hey, thank you very kindly to John. John just took us down to 508, so we might actually cross under the $500 barrier here in a few minutes, and that would be tremendous. Thank you, John. Thank you very, very kindly. thank you. Thank you, Laurel. Laurel just took us down under the $500 mark. So that's 507. That's $496.89. Because apparently Laurel likes to hear me cipher on the fly. $496.89. Thank you, Laurel. Thank you very kindly. Let's see. Thank you, Ralph's Apple stores in West Virginia. One in Pennsylvania and one in Virginia. Yeah, I think I can either go to Roanoke or Pittsburgh. And the way things are going these days, I can also fly to Mars. That's not me being snarky to Ralph's. It's just that, yeah, Pittsburgh's 3 hours and Roanoke's about 3 hours. yuck. So I guess I'll try to continue trying to figure out what the hell's going on. We got a little guy that does Apple repairs over in Beckley. I don't know how I feel about that, but, you know, the most frustrating thing about this is it's not quite 3 years old. On the other hand, my first generation iPad Air is like six. And we use them both. It's amazing. Let's see. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. We got six screens going on in here at the same time. I think if I lived long enough, like, you know, a couple of million years or so, I'd probably evolve eyes like a housefly with like 300 eyes per eyeball, and I could just see everything. But yeah, thank you, Ralphs. Thank you very, very kindly. We'll get into that, Flavio. We'll get into that. Hey, jump into the front porch if you want to, Flavio. That's cool. Bring that to the table. Apple stores are usually located in malls, says Randy. Well, they aren't located in any malls in West Virginia. Maybe Best Buy might be an authorized Apple service place. I don't know. Of course, in the long run, it becomes a matter of, is the repair going to cost more than a new device? And yeah. So that's where we stand. Um, Let's see. What do we... Now, this looks like a regular phone number. I don't think that will work out with the front porch, but let me just try something here. Let me see if I can do this. Let me see. We are moving into Terra Incognita. Let me check here, just a second. Okay, connection lost. Problem with the network. Hold on a minute here. Jesus, we were talking the other night about let's give that one star. Let me see. Okay. Hold on here. Like I said, I don't do this as smoothly as Sparky does. Okay, so who have I got on the line? Anybody? No, I got nobody on the line. Okay, so, yeah, we don't need to hear the pretty Skype music. No, that'll never work. Well, I'm calling you, Steve, and you're not answering. All right, Steve's calling me. Are we connected, Steve?
Yes, sir.
Glory, hallelujah. Okay.
I guess just have people search for Bob Kincaid. Is it that easy?
Well, no. Just you gotta message me and tell me you want into the conversation.
Oh, okay. Well, that's easy. Hell, I'm no technical genius. If I can do it, anybody can.
Okay, sorry. I'm doing 17 things at one time.
No, take your time.
Let's see. I saw Tracy there. Let's see if I can competently add Tracy.
I need to learn Skype.
Well, there's nothing really to learn. It's just annoying.
Well, every time you think you have all the answers, they change the questions. You know.
Okay, so now we're going to try to add Tracy. It's what scintillating radio.
She's there, yeah.
Yeah, what scintillating radio this is for everyone. Yeah, sorry, y'all. It's just...
Hey, this isn't your wheelhouse, okay. Man.
Okay,
can
so...
Can you hear me?
Let me add... Yeah, I got you, Tracy. Stand by.
Okay.
And I'm trying to add Dennis. Because, like I said, see, back when the interface was good, you'd get a call, and then somebody would call in, and you'd have a little box that said, add this to call. And you click it, and boom, you're done, and it's rocking and rolling. Well, that worked entirely too well to suit the Brainiac Genii there at Skype. So now you've got to manually add people one at a time and just kind of guess at whether or not they want in on the conversation. But hey, Dennis, how are you?
How's it going there, Bob?
It's a little harum scarum here. But we'll get through. We'll get through.
You always do.
I'm taking nothing for granted. I mean, I was just thrilled to have the miraculous healing of the Skype laptop. Did my heart worlds good. Let's see. Okay. And that's clear. Now I need to go back up and see if I can find Billable Rick. And there he is. And we'll try to add him and see if he shows up. Never a dull moment. So let me simply ask at the beginning. Ron and Raleigh, by the way, with a note. I keep telling you that Apple is a cult. Get yourself a Samsung pad. Apple makes those damn things impossible to repair on purpose, plus they want to have laws passed so that independent repair shops can't work on Apple products. I know. But for the life of me, and I keep trying, I can't. Maybe it's because I'm an old geezer, but I cannot for the life of me get comfortable with that godforsaken Android interface. Ugh. But that's how it goes. Let's see. Hey, Billable Rick, are you there? It looks like Billable Rick's here.
He may be doing billable things, but he's here.
Okay,
he's
okay. Well, I mean, we are at the end of the week, and I've got a stack of stories. But has anybody got anything that's absolutely burning them up that they want to get to before I start throwing stuff up? Not throwing stuff up, but throwing stuff onto the table.
I'll take a stab at it.
Okay, go, Dennis.
It's more of a, for instance, I guess.
Okay.
Now that, you know, impeachment's like a real possibility now, that seems like every day something, a new little breadcrumb falls. This is a big for instance here. So say he gets impeached and the Republicans that have been basically shielding him, turning on him, and he gets convicted and removed from office, and they're able to prove that he cooperated with the Russians with all the sensitive information he has as a former president and offering comfort to the Russians, what do they do with him?
Well, if he's impeached and removed from office, nothing. He's just removed from office. But then he does become criminally liable for indictment or and prosecution based upon whatever it is that he did that has been uncovered or discovered.
Well, as far as, like, I mean, he knows shit that most of us will never know in our lifetime. Are they just going to let him go with all that information? This is more or less saying that he's a traitor to the country, and he has information that 99% of us will never see, and he's in bed with the Russians. Do they lock him up for life? I mean, how do they handle that? It's never been done.
No, it hasn't, and you ask a very good question, But we also don't, you know, he was so early on. Remember when he stood in the Oval Office very early in his presidency and gave top secret information to the Russians right there in the room?
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
At that point in time, I think there was a bit of a throttle put on the information that he's provided. And if and for once in his life, our lives, our national life, I guess it's kind of cold comfort the fact that he does not read, Dennis. He doesn't read his briefings. He doesn't do deep dives into information. He just listens to people who tell him things and then agrees with them or disagrees with them based upon what his gut says.
Yeah. Well, clearly he doesn't read because he can't spell.
And you know, it's like that clip I played at the end of the program last night. He is, according to a guy who worked alongside him on a lot of live television production, worked on The Apprentice, worked on the Miss Universe or whatever, he's a speed freak. He's a tweaker. He's the tweaker in chief.
Yeah.
And he can't, and the one thing that the guy did say is he can't read. So he gets really, really agitated any time he thinks he's going to have to read, because it's a monumental struggle for him.
Do you see all these the old guard Republicans jumping ship and resigning and ending their political careers as a sign of they don't want to be forced to defend him because everything that's coming out?
Not so far. Not so far. They could have, for instance, stopped a really, really bad Supreme Court nominee and made him get a better one, but they wouldn't do that. They voted for his stupid tax cut. They have not stood up to him once, with the possible exception of this Senate vote about Saudi Arabia. Maybe that, yeah. Does that mark a turning point? I don't think so. I'm just not that much of an optimist.
Well, I mean, as far as the recent legal proclamations or whatever Miller's released that is making them second guess, and that now they're actually having to vocally either accept or reject what he's coming out with. They're having to pick sides.
Well, look, I think a good example for this inquiry, Dennis, is none other than good old retiring senator from Utah via Pittsburgh, Orrin Hatch.
I love to see that he was quitting.
Well, he is retired.
I don't care.
Right. I don't care. The Democrats will do anything to hurt this president. He's a vicious, hateful, nasty old man. Who has spent a career sneering down his patrician nose at anyone whom he deems to be beneath him, and that would be everybody who's not him, doesn't have money to give to him, isn't a Mormon, and is in particular is female. He shit all over Anita Hill, and then he shit all over Christine Blasey Ford. Went to the mattresses for Kavanaugh, and then the other day when they asked him about the stuff being developed against Trump, said Democrats will do anything to hurt this president. I don't care. He's doing a great job. All I can say is he's doing a good job as president. And he caught so much shit for that he issued a statement.
Yeah, he had to walk it back today. I saw that.
Yeah. Earlier this week, in an unplanned hallway interview with CNN, I made comments about allegations against the president that were irresponsible and a poor reflection on my lengthy record of dedication to the rule of law. Rule of law. While I don't believe Michael Cohen is any kind of reliable voice in this process, I have expressed confidence in Bob Mueller and his investigation countless times, including writing in the Wall Street Journal that he must be allowed to complete his investigation. Last October, when Paul Manafort and Rick Gates were indicted, I said I believe that it's in the best interest for all parties involved to allow Bob Mueller to conduct a full and vigorous investigation. More recently this August, I acknowledged that the campaign finance allegations were some serious charges, and they can't be ignored. Well, this is so much bullshit. Because the bottom line is, he says he still doesn't believe Michael Cohen, sworn before God and man on a stack of Bibles to tell the truth, and he does not believe them. He doesn't believe Michael Cohen. He doesn't believe that Donald Trump, he doesn't believe Mr. Pecker. He doesn't believe American Media, Inc. and the National Enquirer. He does not believe that Donald Trump sat in a room and was recorded, giving the orders to pay off Karen McDougal and Stormy Daniels. He doesn't believe that.
And setting up a dummy corporation to pay him back.
Right. And he doesn't, you know, in other words, Orrin Hatch doesn't believe his own lying ears. And
it doesn't fit his agenda.
And Orrin Hatch, because see, here's the problem, Dennis, at least as far as I can tell. The further we dig into this Maria Butina business and her all the footsie that she played with the NRA and the National Day of Prayer, Breakfast Day of Prayer, we're going to find out that a lot of filthy Russian money wound up in a lot of Republican pockets. Maybe Republican pockets like that of Orrin Hatch, or the pockets of, say, Lindsey Graham, or, hey, if it's after all Kentucky, how's about chinless Mitch McConnell? And that's why, they are inclined to protect him at all costs.
What do you think is their best move as far as the Senate Republicans go? Do they sink with the ship, or, I mean, it's basically they're going to throw in their dice with Trump, and whatever happens to Trump, they share the same fate. Or when it comes vote time, everybody's getting voted out.
If I was a Republican, he said, thinking that if he was, he would probably go and throw himself in traffic. If I was a Republican, I would hope that Trump resigns. I would quietly suggest that he probably should. Because that means you don't have to answer Trump questions in, say, 2020, when 20 Republican seats are going to be on the line and only about, I think, 13 Democrats. So I would hope he resigns, and that way I could be free of it all and just go back to the business of doing shitty things to the American people without having to bow and scrape and say, MAGA, y'all. Because if they have to campaign for re-election and he's on the ballot in 2020, it might actually make this year look like a walk in the park. That is assuming, of course, Dennis, that the Democrats don't completely screw it up. And insofar as the Democratic Party is generally the Washington Generals of politics, remember the team that always loses to the Harlem Globetrotters?
Absolutely.
Us screwing it up is always a possibility. I mean, among other things, just some things that I'm seeing out there from time to time, the Hilarians and the Berniacs are already picking at each other. Picking, 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 picking. Ooh, look, there's a scab. I want to pull it off. Ooh, I bet that hurts. Ooh, oh, I'll pick a scab off you, you goddamn Hilarian. Ooh, I found another scab on you, you Berniac. Ow! And meanwhile, the country suffers. So, yeah, and look, I'm not trying to goon on either one of the candidates. I'm talking about the followers who seem inclined to engage in a circular firing squad.
Yeah, I think their problem is there's too many people want to be chief instead of just working together against a mutual enemy.
Yeah. By the way, our buddy Reverbo said Washington Generals. Ding! It's, yeah. But there's a lot of stuff out there that makes me, well, I still have to come back and say, and everybody else jump in too, please. I still say that going after impeachment when there's no proof that you're going to get 67 votes to remove him from office is not a wise move.
I completely agree.
Hey, Bob, how you doing?
Hey, Billable Rick, how are you?
I'm doing great. Yeah, I tend to agree that impeachment is not a wise move. And, I mean, I was talking to my son today about all the investigations surrounding the various Trump organizations. And I said, geez, what a cesspool. And I said, wait a second, that's giving cesspool a bad name, you know?
Yeah, cesspools, the septic systems serve a vital and important function.
That's right. That's right. And you have, you know, if you go to the beginning, the Trump campaign is under investigation. The inaugural committee is under investigation. The Trump organization is under investigation. The foundation is the Trump White House. It's like there's like six Trump organizations that are under investigation by various authorities. And that doesn't even include Trump himself. Okay. Seven, if you include him.
And every member of his family.
Yeah, pretty much every member of his family. So it's like I've never seen anything like this, Bob. I don't see how the guy can remain, you know, a president under these circumstances. I think the guy's going to have to resign ultimately. You know, I don't see the Republicans standing up to him and, you know, removing him, the senators, okay, from the, you know, in the Senate. I mean, what's going to have to happen is, you know, his approval is going to have to sink so low that the Republicans are actually going to be afraid to run him as their standard bearer in 2020. And they're going to say, look, you know, you've got to just tell, you know, people that, you know, you could do an LBJ, you know, I will not run for reelection or something like that. I'm just going to finish out my term and, you know, I won't run for reelection. And then Pence would be running for president. You know, that's, you know, that wouldn't be out of the question. But then again, the problem with Pence is he's up to his neck, you know, in the, you know, he's implicated in the missing, what, 40 million or, yeah, 40 million from the inaugural committee and such, you know. So.
Oh, and apparently Precious Ivanka was running her own little private shakedown on it. Jacking up the prices and whatnot. That was sweet.
Doesn't surprise me. You got to make a profit margin, right? Yeah.
Sure. Oh, and by the way, a totally catty moment. I got to send out thanks. Thank you very kindly to our buddy Keith. Keith heard about the loose change, and Keith has now taken us down to what was it? Let me see here. He has taken us down to $486. Thank you, Keith. Thank you. That's big time. That's a big help, and my aching little brain appreciates it very, very much indeed. So, I was going to suggest a moment of abject shallowness. Anybody see melanomas do dye job?
Her hair? No.
You mean those hideous Christmas trees that are red?
Wait a minute.
No. That's not her hair. Oh, there you go.
That's worth a cowbell, Steve.
Good one, Steve.
No, I'm talking about the bubblegum from 1985, Steve. No, she's got, apparently, unless this is some sort of huge internet Photoshop hoax, she has gone blonde, melanoma has.
What?
Yeah. Oh,
good God.
I sent.
Trying to look more like Ivanka.
Well, I sent the picture to Agnes, and it was terrifying. Let me see if I can.
Just like my daughter. Oh God.
Oh. Okay. Maybe I didn't send it there. How about if I send it here? I'm feeling like No, not there either. Oh, I know I sent, well, okay, I know what I did. I sent it by AirDrop, so I can't find it. Yeah, it was a picture of her from, like, CNN, and she's, I guess, trying to make herself a little look a little bit more like Ivanka, which is really kind of, well, creepy. Really, really creepy.
Yep, well, Steve just posted it. Oh, my God.
So that's real, right, Steve?
As far as I know, somebody from the chat room just posted a link. I think it was Warrior Witch. Thank you for doing that. I just opened it and dragged it over to the message board, and it posted. So I have no idea if it's real or not. But, yeah, she does look like Ivanka. That's kind of spooky, isn't it?
It looks real to me. You know? The problem is she's from the wrong part of the world to have blonde hair. I think people from Slovenia tend... Well, I guess you could be blonde from Slovenia as well, but, you know. She's just not, she's a natural brunette. So to try to be blonde is just ridiculous. It just doesn't look good with her, you know, her features.
You know what else is really just getting my goat? Can I go ahead and just let it go, Bob?
Go, man.
Did you hear about the little 7-year-old Guatemalan girl that they let dehydrate, DHS, and she died? Under air care, she's been with us since December the 7th. They put her in one of them goddamn cages and or refrigerated warehouses, and she's dead. And somebody's got blood on their hands. And goddamn it, that pisses me off because that's all their tax dollars. Anybody that works, you know, not in their name.
Not Steve, the cover-up has already begun. I heard a report. They got a response from DHS, and they said that, you know, the girl was severely dehydrated when she was turned in, when they turned themselves into the Border Patrol, and they were like 90 miles from the nearest care. They got her into medical care as soon as they could, and,
you know, she
was too far gone. Blah, blah, blah. Exactly, Tracy.
Yeah, but here's the problem. She came in, this, and, you know, this happens at Christmas, right?
God damn,
when this happens at Christmas, when the central origin myth of the holiday is a little baby, a little refugee baby being born and then having to flee for its life with its parents. And so this 7-year-old innocent, and somewhere out there, there's a religious tenet that says, you got to be careful what you do to people, because anybody you know, anybody you meet, could be the returning Christ. You know? Well, she came in, she was brought in and put in a concentration camp, along with 162 other people.
That was on the 7th.
So how much triage did they do? You know, triage is that process, that medical process, whereby when you've got a whole bunch of people in bad shape, you prioritize who's in the worst shape versus who can wait.
And the private company that's supposed to be caring for these people, they're charging us taxpayers $900 per person.
Per day, probably.
So, right. And remember,
you mean you couldn't get some water at $900 a day per person?
Exactly, Tracy.
Yeah, well, this is the same private contractor theory that resulted back when we were in the midst of George W. Bush's war against the innocent people of Iraq, resulted in $29 Halliburger.
And also people getting electrocuted in showers. Service people got electrocuted in showers that were not properly
grounded.
Yeah.
Nice. I forgot about that.
God damn, if that just doesn't rip your guts out, I don't know what will. I mean, it all falls back to what I said 18 months ago. When is enough going to be enough? God damn it, when are we going to reach that point?
Well, and you know what the administration has done? They have blood on their hands because it was their policies that caused these people to have to take a more dangerous route through the Sonoran Desert instead of, you know, turning themselves into, let's say, you know, the U.S. authorities let's say, Tijuana, or one of the more populated border crossings,
yeah,
and trying to claim refugee status, because the U.S. government has shit all over its treaty with regard to, you know, being required to consider refugee claims of people who are fleeing, you know, violence or danger in their home countries. So they've basically caused these people to have to, by not acknowledging or even allowing people to claim refugee status, they're forcing people to, you know, come in more under more dangerous conditions. You know, so it's totally fucked up.
They're people like me and you. They have loved ones, brothers, sisters, cousins, aunts, wives, husbands, daughters, children. They're no different than us, man. And, you know, these fucking so-called Christians, what did Christ teach? What you do to the least among me, you do to me? Fuck them, man.
Well, but they're not, they're not Christians.
They're
Satanists. They're Satanists.
Well, Rick, this is the way
they worship Satan and money.
No, they're heretics,
you know?
This is the way they'll rationalize. Let me explain the way they'll rationalize it. Oh, she's with Jeebus now. She's laying down with the lamb. She's at peace. She's never going to hurt anymore. That's the way these fuckers are going to rationalize this in their own.
Well, no. The fact of the matter is, Kirstjen Nielsen, who should be on her knees in a church somewhere, or maybe doing penance somewhere. Kirstjen Nielsen said, "Well, we have to remember, it's the parents' fault. They're the ones who chose to break the law of the United States."
Yeah, they put their kids in danger.
And
they're being bad parents.
They keep emphasizing the word illegal. If they weren't, like you said, you know, it's to blame the victim. If they weren't coming in here illegally, they wouldn't be. They had to stay their asses where they're supposed to stay and risk life and death and all this and be, you know, in war zones and, you know, gang, you know, infested places and all these other places that are usually as a result of U.S. policies in this country pick a country. So, you know, stay there and die, or just come here and die. Either way, we don't care. We want you to die.
Yeah.
Given the season, let's try this in a different context. Assistant, hang on. It takes a minute. Assistant Pharaoh for Border Security, Amenhotep Jones, said, "Clearly, it was Mary and Joseph's fault that the little baby Jesus died, and salvation was not able to be extended to all of suffering humanity. They chose to walk through the desert. They chose to try to cross the border of Egypt illegally. Never mind the fact that Herod's men were trying to ride them down and chop off the little baby's head. Never mind that it was very dangerous for them to stay where they were due to policies having entirely to do with things that Egypt has done in the past. It's Mary and Joseph's fault that the little baby is dead." There's your fucking Christmas story. Merry goddamn Christmas.
Oh, jeez. You're just a bright white ray of sunshine, Bob. I tell you, you never fail.
Well, you have to look at the Reagan administration, their involvement in Central America, and the whole, the kingpin, the drug kingpin in Honduras and El Salvador and Iran-Contra, that whole thing. We completely ruined those countries by propping up these right-wing dictators.
Yeah, and let's not forget, G.W. Bush's role in that. You know?
Oh, exactly.
Yeah.
You know, and I, that's why I couldn't watch the news. I couldn't stand that guy. 1,000 Points of Light, and I remember he called the Democrats doomers and gloomers during the Dukakis Bush run for the White House, and it's like, that's the way they think. You know, once you start criticizing, once you start, you prop up this negative critique of what's going on, they look at you like you're nuts, you know. Talk about the Bush family. You can't talk about the Bush family as if they were war criminals. George Jr. is a war criminal in my book.
Oh,
Most definitely. Most definitely.
Yeah.
So is his daddy.
You know, I think Neil Young got G.W. Bush right. you know, as far as the, you know, kinder, gentler machine gun hand, you know, house punch yeah. of lights for the homeless man, et cetera, you know.
Well, you know, Prescott right? Bush was a banker for the Nazis, you know.
Yeah.
He handled, and a lot of people don't discuss that. You won't hear that on CBS or NBC during that whole funeral crap, you know.
Oh, no, no. no. He financed the ovens.
Everything's sanitized. It's
the,
yeah. his
actually, it was sanitized the actually it was it, actually Steve. It was the gas.
Oh, the gas.
Oh, the gas. Zyklon
B.
Right.
Zyklon. Yeah, exactly. Yep. Zyklon B.
Zyklon B. Yeah.
Hey, well, Bob, can I ask you a question?
Yeah, yeah. Hey, let's bring Todd in from South Carolina, Stan. He's over on the stress line. Go, Todd.
Hey, Steve. Everybody. Hello. Hello. Happy Friday.
Hey, Todd. How you doing, brother?
Hey, happy barbecue, Todd.
All right. I had a question for Steve because we listen to Washington Journal when we can. Have you heard these folks that call in and they say, well, you know, if I had a DUI, if I drank too much beer and I got pulled over, I would be separated from my children. And they miss the point that they will know where their children are, as opposed to taking someone's children and not knowing where they are ever. Have you heard these people?
Yes. Yesterday and the day before, they had to deal with the issues. Now, today, they ran from it. Opening topic today was they just women only, do you feel oppressed in the workplace? Well, of course they do. Good
right.
God, man. What a stupid question to ask.
I thought that was lame. That was a waste of time.
Yeah. I mean, Greta was hosting.
Did you say clickbait?
I don't know, Trace.
That's like the topic
Journal.
Being, you know, does yeah. Trump lie, you know?
Right. and if you feel stressed, they didn't invite it by Republicans and Democrats. They went by East of the Rockies and West of the Rockies. So they are doing their best to sanitize everything.
You know what, Stephen? I think they're under pressure. We're at the point where you have Republicans call in and swear that Washington Journal leans to the left because they let everyone speak, and they don't like what they hear.
Bunch of damn liberals is what they are. Bunch of damn liberals.
Second Amendment is not...
There's always been a lottery. Always been a lottery. Lottery in June, corn heavy soon. Bunch of damn liberals.
Did anybody watch... Sepp Gorka?
Christ, it's going off the rails.
Did anybody watch Sepp Gorka on C-SPAN during the Bush last week? He's on C-SPAN. Some guy calls in. He goes, this Gorka guy is a friggin' Nazi. And then Gorka starts laughing. Ho, ho, ho. Well, no, no. My parents were victims of the Holocaust. You know, and he goes on and on. And going, yeah, but that was then. This is now. The other brown people you don't like are Muslims or Latinos.
Well, you know, and the fact of the matter, why was Sepp Gorka walking around with a medal that was given to his daddy by a Nazi-affiliated organization? There's that, too.
That's true. Oh, that's right. I forgot about that. Yeah.
If I could have called, I would say, Greta, do you feel oppressed in your workplace that they're making you ask such stupid questions and avoiding the elephant in the room?
That's what I felt like, Steven.
Right.
That was so, God, I was so pissed. I was like, I couldn't see. We understand that. It's like all this stuff is boiling right now. And
exactly.
We understand that. Of course we see that. I mean, come on.
I send him blistering emails, and I copy Bob in on a lot of these. He sees them too. So he feels my frustration. Do you get those, Bob?
Oh, yes. Oh, yes. I do. sometimes I'll get them and I'll think, Steve, you know,
you're just pissing in the wind, bro.
No, no, right? I'm just thinking, you know, maybe this would be a good morning for a nice double blast of, Crown. Just kind of chill a little bit.
Let it go.
By the way, thanks to the Blue Hen for sending another photo of blonde Melania along on Twitter. The horror.
Blonde Melania?
Hi, Tracy.
What's
yes.
Wait, why?
She's trying to evangelize herself, I think.
Yeah! Oh! So he can really fuck his daughter. Oh, God. Oh, Jesus.
Tracy, are you home yet?
No, I'm stuck in traffic. So, there's only so much I can handle, but
Your connection's bad, Tracy.
Yeah, Tracy, you're falling out real bad, dear.
You're breaking up, hon.
You must be between towers, Tracy.
Wait till you get the 6 and 7/8, then try again.
Man, you don't listen. Finally, you listen. So when I came back onto the line, I heard. Really? And I could hear you guys perfect.
You're coming back a little bit, Tracy.
Must have gotten a little closer to the tower. But, yeah, she's, go figure. Okay, so just another topic to throw out there, because we've already done the dead child in the desert to get everybody in a proper holiday mood. And
well, what happened, Bob?
Yeah, what?
One more thing on the dead child in the desert. You were given the Jesus, Mary, and Joseph analogy.
Yes.
That wouldn't work because they were on their way to pay their taxes, which, you know, the GOP would never go for that, and also for the census, which must include a question, you don't look like you're from around here, do you, boy?
Well, that's true, but I was thinking about the flight into Egypt.
Oh, okay.
Is that Scott?
Yeah, that's Scott.
Oh, yeah, Scott, glad you're here, brother. You're one of my favorite callers. You need to call him for often, man.
Bless your heart. Well,
you crack me up, man. You do.
Are we still all screwed, Scott?
That Burl Ives segment was a hoot you guys did the other night.
I left
my hidey off, man.
Have a holly jolly Christmas.
Yeah, you do that really, really entirely too well. Note coming in from Darlene in Connecticut. Ivanka is just as sleazy and perfidious as her father. My concern is there's a growing chorus from pundits pressuring the future Dem-controlled House to impeach Trump as if it's required by law. No, but it is required by the ratings book, Darlene. It'll be great for ratings. There'll be stirring martial music. Bum blum dum dum bum dum. Impeachment update 2019. Bum blum dum 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 dum. Democrats attack Trump. Bum blum dum dum bum bum bum. And then we'll have a bunch of crocodile tear pouring Republican pundits. I can't believe they didn't learn the lesson that the Republicans learned from impeaching Bill Clinton. But anyway, Darlene continues. This chorus is being led by John Dean, who I think means well, but is not looking past the House to what the Senate will ultimately do. The argument is that the House must impeach, that it is compelled to do so, and I think the CNNs of the world are suffering from the Trump is bad for America but great for CBS syndrome, in that these for-profit news organizations crave the intrigue and excitement of an impeachment process in the House because it's good for ratings. See what I said? Great minds think alike, Darlene. But by the way, I've also been called out. Oh my God, Bob, stop being so catty. Stop telling melanoma how to color her hair, Bob. Yeah.
I thought that was brain weighing in there for a second there, Bob. I wasn't sure.
No. hey, let me go back and double check my mathematics real quick.
And while you're doing that, to say Burl Ives' full name again, please.
Burl Ickles Ivanhoe Ives.
Wow.
Wow.
He did have a hell of a set of pipes, though, that's for sure. Man,
and
oh, man.
He played guitar, too. I didn't realize that. Bob played some deep cuts, really deep Burl Ives cuts.
Yeah.
Other.
Man,
let's go listen to it. Dude could pick, man.
Oh, yeah. If I could sing like him, man, I was doing karaoke the other night and
did
a pretty good imitation of Jim Morrison, Love Me Two Times. But, geez, Burl Ives, man.
That blonde Melania thing is for the holiday. Blonde Melania, Melania, Melania.
Blonde Melania, blonde Melania.
Hey, Bob, speaking of CBS.
Blonde, blonde, blonde.
Yeah, Tracy.
Melania.
Melania. Well, Scott, come on, let's keep Scott. Okay, Scott was doing good. Speaking of CBS, your boy Leslie, what's his last name? Moonves. Well, he's, CBS is getting another kick in the crotch because we have another actress that's just come forward. Now, she didn't accuse him. It was from another show, and she just got a $9 million payout for sexual harassment. I'm like, see, this is what sucks. Why, when I was pregnant with Alex, because I got seriously sexually harassed when I was pregnant, and I'm like, why, damn it, why didn't all this stuff happen then? I would be sitting on some serious coin, man, or Quan or whatever, but it's just like, man,
Quan, yes, Quan.
Quan. But here's the best part. You know how he single-handedly tried to torpedo Janet Jackson's career after, the wardrobe malfunction of that Super Bowl?
Nipplegate, I think they called that.
Yes, yeah. Nipplegate, because he didn't feel that she was contrite enough, in her apologies or what have you. So he made it his mission to fuck up her career. Well, guess who's going to be in the inducted into the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame next year? In the 2019.
I saw she's on the list. Yeah.
Yep.
Yep.
So fuck you, Les.
Oh, Tracy.
Yes, baby.
You and Bob inadvertently, maybe without knowing it even, invented a new sandwich in your conversation the other day. A slice of bread.
Oh, what have we wrought?
Slice of bread, layer of mustard. Slice of bread, layer of mayonnaise. Slice of bread. It's the Hillbilly Club. Or down south, it could be the Poe Black Folks Club sandwich.
Ew. Ew.
Ew.
Ew.
Let me guess. It has to be Wonder Bread. It's a wonder anybody can eat it.
It has to be, yes.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Wonder, yeah. Chemical bread.
Well, okay. Since you segued us over there. Okay. By the way, we got to come back to this because I got a note from Megan saying, "Talk about the horn in. What are the details? What is it?"
I was being asked last night, and I was just sort of winging it.
Well, I mean,
it'll be in San Diego.
No, well, no, sadly, in Scott's front yard.
I got lucky when Mike did his, Scott. So,
so I'm going to come back to that. But I got to throw some food porn out for Friday on the front porch just to lighten the mood a little bit. I was over in Kroger today, and I was browsing along through the 3 ounce $100 piece of standing prime rib. I mean, that shit's more expensive than marijuana now. But I ran
it. Wait, Bob, is that on sale? Because out here it's $4.99 a pound.
Oh, well, hell, give me 10 pounds. $4.99 a pound.
I hear some serious feedback. I hear Bob from the past, like a couple of minutes ago, talking on somebody's
that ain't me.
No, the standing rib roasts are on sale right now. And because, like you said, it's regularly like $150. And now it's like that's what we're having for Christmas dinner. I'm sorry for interrupting.
Oh, no. That's okay. You will have a wonderful time with that. And if you pour a little hickory, there's nothing better, nothing that doesn't do better with some hickory smoke poured to it. But here's what caught my eye. And Todd, you're liable. There's liable to be sound effects when you hear this.
Uh-oh.
A whole raw, uncooked, uncured ham. Skin on, hock, right down to the hock.
Wow.
And all of a sudden, my little mind went, I could make a double salt brine, put in a little bit of sugar, and brine cure that thing ice cold for like a week and a half with those same holiday-type spices I used with the pork loin.
Ooh.
And then
throw it on the acorn.
And then throw it on the acorn and let that baby smoke. And it would just about have to come out country style ham.
You have a cleaver?
I have a cleaver.
You can do this.
Are you gonna Did you do it, Bob?
No, I haven't. In fact, I looked at it and I said, no, I think we're going to have a consultation on the front porch about this.
But you already said what you're going to do. I don't think you need to be consulted. I don't think you need any more consultation.
Well, but no, it's a huge damn thing. I don't know if I can get away with it. You know, I don't know if it can. I don't know if it can sit there in the smoker long enough to get thoroughly roasted.
I think it. I think three chunks at a time. Three chunks at a time.
Bob, may I talk to Tracy for just 1 minute? Jump in here.
Well, okay.
Tracy, I got my I got my Mary Clayton CD in the mail today. Oh, my God. It's awesome. Oh, my God. I mean, Janice ain't got nothing on this girl. This girl is a goddess, man.
Well, I heard you on the other day. I heard you guys the other day talking about the movie. I'm so glad you're...
I said,
the grand negress of influencers.
One of the best docs ever. Anybody that's a music fan, you got to see this. 20 Foot from Stardom. It's on Netflix. And this woman's just all over the place, man. Anything. They wake her up in the middle of the night, and she'd go out and change musical history, man.
I mean, with rollers in her hair, for God's sake.
Right, and a robe.
And a robe. No, I think she had an, I think she didn't have on a robe. No, she had rollers in her hair and a fur coat.
Oh, okay. Yeah, she had a fur coat. But my goodness, I heard that. I was like, I'm going to go find her music somehow, some way. And I did, and I am not disappointed. She is a goddess.
And just the fact that she was on Sweet Home Alabama, too. And just the fact that she's like, you know, what does a black girl do? And was it her father or her husband who convinced her to sing on that song? Because she's like, fuck Alabama. Are you
That's what she said. She said, there's nothing sweet about Alabama.
Bam.
Could I toss in a quick TV viewing tip?
Oh, sure. Please do, Scott.
And I came across this kind of inadvertently. I'm doing a test subscription to Showtime on my cable system, and I had heard about this series, this continuing series called The Circus, with Mark Halperin, and he went away, and now it's... John Heilman, Alex Wagner, and Mark McKinnon, with occasional visits from Steve Schmidt in season 3. But it's an excellent series in terms of keeping track. See, things politically, or at least with Trump's madness, are going so fast and furiously, we lose track. We forget outrages from even the recent past. And I'm about done with the three seasons of this thing, The Circus.
How many they got on season 3, Scott?
Season 3, I think, is like, I don't know, what is it, about 12 episodes, something like that? The first season was like 24
episodes.
Yeah,
I know. And right after Trump got elected, I got so pissed off I went and canceled Showtime because I didn't want to see any more of it.
Well, I mean, you know, you do what you got to do.
Right. But if you say it's that good, I'll go pick it back up at least a free week.
Well, the thing that jumped out at me watching it last night, I'm about at the middle of season 3. And earlier in season 3, they're talking about the Russia thing, you know, with the election meddling. But they're also talking about Russian media, like RT and Sputnik Radio and all that crap. And they're talking to a couple of representatives. One is like a government representative, and one is like a media representative from RT. And I began seeing a pattern in their responses to these legitimate questions, and it dawned on me, it's just like whenever the media asks Trump a question, nothing is ever his fault. He's always got nothing but the best motives at play. Well, asking these two women from Russian media and the Russian agency that deals with media, it's the same thing. They were trying to ask serious questions, and each and every fucking response, with the exception of none, was accusatory, as Trump often is. It was, I don't know nothing about it, as Trump often is. And turning the question around to make the questioner look bad, as Trump often does.
Okay, here's a wrinkle. Now that we know, and I'm taking this as gospel. Now, maybe I'm just a simpleton, but as someone who used to, and Rick knows what I mean by this, and so does Steve in New York, make a living out of trying to figure out who was lying to me. Because there's always, you know, somebody always is. The business about him snorting the Adderall seems truthful to me. It strikes me as having the ring of truth, not just for the sake of confirmation bias, but because of the details that surround the assertion.
But Bob, I've done some crazy shit. Hold on, Steve.
I
think we talked about that.
Yeah.
No, that's actually quite common.
That would have
you
to
guys
burn.
Let Bob talk. Shh, quiet.
yes, ma'am.
I just want to reach the conclusion of this. If we take that as true, and then let's see, without asking anybody to incriminate or implicate themselves, cocaine and stimulants generally are not overall good for, let's say, male sexual performance.
cocaine dick is the name of the malady. Coke dick.
Sounds like you're got some familiarity there, Scott.
I read a lot.
Well, no.
You
get all Ed McMahon with Scott, you are correct, sir. And so if you take that and you couple it with, say, what Stormy Daniels said, remember, Mario Kart, Mushroom?
Yeah.
And you couple it with the fact that the allegation about the pee-pee tape is not that he was golden showering the Russian hookers, but that he was standing by watching while the Russian hookers peed on the bed where Barack Obama slept.
7:15 and already. Go ahead. Say it.
7:13 and we're into the gutter.
Okay, put the kids away, folks.
But, no, I mean, all kidding aside, work with me here. Don't the stories of his pathetic attempts at sexual exploits, don't they support the Adderall business?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Go ahead, Todd. I won't answer if it calls for me to incriminate myself.
No, it just seems to me that we talked about this a few weeks ago when we were talking about him making those snorting sounds and stomping around.
Yes, we did.
And on a couple of occasions, and because you asked me, because I mentioned certain things about me, and I was like, yeah, that looks like what he might be doing. And we talked about these very substances on more than one occasion. And this is crazy because I was listening to Rents today, and I had no idea that that's the rumor going around now. And I had no idea when we were talking about that. So, it was obvious. Because you see, when you get children riddling in the classroom, it slows them down. But it's pharmaceutical methamphetamine, so
So it knocks those kids out. Like, the unruly kids they don't want to deal with, you give them Ritalin. You know, that, but for adults, it's speed. So anyway, well, I'm not, yeah.
Am I the lone female on this call?
You are at present, yes.
Yeah. Well, I have to
Bring the truth, Tracy. Bring the truth.
I have to say that, I mean, because back in, I tried Coke once or twice and it did nothing for me, but the white boys that I was with, yeah, it did not enhance their prowess. It was, yep, limp dick syndrome. And I'm like, wow.
The sick part of it was they would get you wound up, but then you couldn't perform.
You can't do shit.
Well, you know, I tried snorting coke one time, but I almost drowned and decided I'd never do it again.
You know, it was pathetic. I'm like,
tough crowd.
And then what I said, I thought, well, maybe because they're white boys, maybe that's just, you know, that was an awfully bigoted thing for me to say. You know, I'm thinking, well, maybe because I didn't think about it if it's the coke. I just thought because they were white that they couldn't get it up. But I'm awful. I know. But,
no, that's
yeah,
okay.
I've unfortunately been a party to, on the receiving end of coke dick and whiskey dick. So yes, it's and you try so hard. You try so hard not to laugh.
Let's just say that everything in moderation, okay? You tend not.
Well,
I think about the lyric
to Gravity's Gone by the Drive-By Truckers. It's one of the Cooley lyrics, and along the way he says, "Cocaine rich comes quick, and that's why the small dicks have it all."
Well, I'll tell you what, the couple of times that I had a close encounter with that substance, cocaine, I was, thank my Anglo-Saxon white Protestant upright God, that I was smart enough to walk away from it. Because knowing my personality and my mindset at the time, I could see where I could get hooked on that shit pretty damn quick.
You would have been Scott Scarface in no time, huh?
Oh, I would have been gnawing on furniture with a limp dick.
Well, see, that's the thing. Unless I miss my guess, Donald Trump is getting very close to say hello to my little friend. Only he won't be talking about a machine gun.
Well, no. Well, and the thing is, the snorting Adderall theory, he's all hyped up, okay? He's already sleep-deprived, but it's hard to know which came first. The three-hour nightly sleep, fitful at best, and then the tweeting, or the Adderall. Did the Adderall snorting induce it? You know? Pattern all fits.
I think when he gets nervous, he probably does more Adderall, because I remember during one of the debates how he was like snorting. It might have been the first debate or the third debate. I mean, he was all over the place.
Well, listen to his voice. I mean, there's a reason he sounds like he sounds, you know, like a cross between Bubbles from Trailer Park Boys and Carl the assistant greenskeeper from Caddyshack. he's probably trashed his goddamn sinuses.
Well, and the other thing, you know, and since he began his run, announced his intention to run and came down the escalator and all that happy crap, till this very day, he's been a mega public figure. But let's go back 20 years when he was a semi-major public figure. In other words, he was not totally in the spotlight. He wasn't topic number one on all the newscasts. If it causes your judgment and behavior to be impaired, not only was his bad record as a good businessman imperiling his empire, such as it was, but let's say the Adderall was causing bad judgment. Maybe this is what the Mueller thing, part of what the Mueller thing is all about, to let the rest of us in on the dirty secret that he, for 30 years now, he's been a loose cannon in terms of bad investments, bad decisions in terms of going to Deutsche Bank, you know, to get loans, that Turkish bank or Cyprus bank that's famous, infamous for laundering criminal money, you know.
Oh, Russian, you mean the one the Secretary of Commerce sat on the board of?
Oh, yeah. I can't remember the name of the bank or his name, for that matter.
Wilbur Ross.
Is that Alpha Bank or something like that?
But what I'm saying is, it what we're seeing now could all be part of a larger pattern.
Or a culmination of all that.
Or a culmination. And this is what Mueller has keyed in on. Your comments?
I'm speechless.
Yeah.
Well, I tend to think that I could be on.
Yeah, I think they hit it out of the park, bro.
And in the circus last night, Donnie Deutsch was interviewed by, was it Heilman? Yeah, I guess it was John Heilman, or yeah, it was Heilman, or maybe it was McKinnon. I can't remember, but he gave a quote that I had not hitherto heard. And it's along the lines of, before this is over, Donnie Deutsch said this in regard to Trump, before all this is over, there will be revelations and disclosures and scandals that no one has ever thought of, that have not even entered the imagination.
Well, yeah,
and
that
gave me a fucking chill.
The National Enquirer says they got a vault full of stories, man.
Oh, excuse me, I'm sorry, I lost my internet connection. This is Otto, but whatever happened.
Hey, Otto.
Hey, Bob. Anyway, I was going to call in, pretend I'm like Seb Gorka. I hear you've been bad-mouthing me. Please stop that. But anyway, I want to know what happened in that New York Times article that came out 2 months ago. That just, like, got forgotten. And then, you know, this administration, I think the crap is going to start piling up. Seems like every day there's a new scandal, there's a new revelation. But that New York Times article said that Donnie had a $500 million kind of a trust fund. And this was way back when Dad was getting kind of old. I don't know the story about all that money, but it was this money they kept throwing in this phony bank account for a phony company. So the father was kind of corrupt. So it's kind of like gone from dad to son. You know,
that's all they know, Otto. That's how
all they know is grift and graft and corruption, without a doubt. Okay, so because the program is short this evening, we're knocking off at 8 because I'm covering for Malloy. It's 23 past the hour. I will note that we kind of stopped the little flurry of fundraising at $486. Thank you, Keith. So that means ending the week without covering two and part of a third day of, you know, what it takes to keep the program on the air. So we're at 486, and hopefully in the next 37 minutes we'll knock some of that down. I mean, it's been a long time since we went into the next week with, like, more than 2 days funding to catch up with.
Let's not do that. Let me make a plea, Bob, please. I don't know if y'all enjoy this as much as I do, but this is more fun than, you know, cake. We have to keep this going, man. Please, I'm begging y'all. I do what I can, and I'm by no means rich. I got medical bills coming out all orifices, but I'm begging everybody, please. You know, even $5 helps. Anything you got, you know. Because Bob's like, he's like us, man. He doesn't have a day job. This is it. This is what he does. And if we can't make ends meet, you know, this is going to end. That would be a very sad day, and I don't want that to happen. That's all I got, Bob.
Well, thank you, Steve. I mean, there's truth out of it, and there's, you know, I can assure you there that Agnes has never bought me an $8,000 Rolex, and I've never bought her a $200,000 Lamborghini. Wait, laugh again like that, honey. Let me point the microphone toward you.
Bob, why not?
Wait, now go, honey.
Why not?
Wait, go, honey.
It's not coming on cue.
Oh, she can't do it on cue. I'm sorry. But I can assure
she's going to get even with you, Bob, off the air. Believe you me.
Oh, I have no doubt whatsoever.
That's not the way progressives should think. It's like money is just a means to an end.
Oh no! I periodically get hateful emails about how we should live in noble poverty here, which we kind of already do anyway. Yeah. Oh yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. I've always been bohemian. I've always, pay as you go. I mean, I'm just not into things. I have the same truck I've had since for the past 27 years, and I'm not into things, So I guess the quote for the day would be the best things in life are not things.
Well, I couldn't agree more, but there have to be some things in order to make all of this go.
Oh, true.
I mean, I could certainly stand out on the back stoop and scream my fool head off, but the only people that would hear the show would be our neighbors who burn coal and fly the Confederate flag, and I don't think they'd be a particularly receptive audience.
I'd give you $1,000, Bob.
I would do the same thing, but since I'm not a Soros, I'll throw in $25 for the evening. Let's see if I would throw in a $25 challenge, and if that's met, then I'll throw in another $25.
Wow, Tracy, thank you. So that would get us down near the $400 mark. That would be huge. Thank you, Tracy. And this isn't me putting the screws on the group. That's not what this is about.
No, it's not.
It's just, well, I guess it's the curse of doing things this way. I mean, if you've got that tasty buy gold now or Super Beats ad contract, then you don't do this and you don't worry about this. And you know that everything's going to be okay next month and the month after, as long as you don't piss off the people at Buy Gold Now and Super Beats. But that's just, that's the nature of the community that we've built here, because, well, there's no staff to go out and hustle Super Beats. But that's if somebody will meet Tracy's 25, and did that happen? There's $9 left of Tracy's 25. Thank you, Megan. Thank you so very much. I can't thank you enough. So there's $9 left on Tracy's challenge. Thank you. Let's see. Let me do a thing here. I just saw John Britovo pop up. There's John. And add. And hopefully we'll have John on board here. Thank you.
Does John's beard get there before he does?
You'll have to ask John. I can't answer.
I know my ass gets to a lot of places before I do.
But I was going to throw out there just for general consideration. Because Megan asked, "What about the horn-in?" Well, I mean, there's nothing officially scheduled. Steve, while we were down there at the Malloy Fest, said, "Bob, you got to have one of these in the New River Gorge area, because Steve knows how pretty it is up here." And I guess one of the things we could do is put out a general query and see if anybody would be interested in doing one. I mean, it's entirely your fault, Steve, that I've sat here thinking about how we could go about doing it and thinking about putting on a big barbecue feed one evening, and then maybe getting, say, the wonderful lady who cooks at this Thai restaurant just up the road a feed there one evening, and an opportunity to maybe learn to rock climb in the New River Gorge, or go whitewater rafting, or just go hiking. Go hiking.
Things that people do that you can die from.
Like eating Thai food, or?
No.
You're talking whitewater rafting, I think, and the rock climbing, Tracy.
Jesus fucking Christ.
Well, there's bicycle riding and hiking and...
I'm joking, Tracy.
You're not thinking of Deliverance, are you?
See, when I think of water, White River...
And New River Gorge.
Well, you know what, Tracy? That's
Georgia.
I'm thinking of banjos and...
Well, you know what? While you were here, Tracy, we have a place that sells T-shirts that say, you know, on the front it says New River Gorge National River, and with the little logo or whatever. And on the back it says Paddle Faster, I Hear Banjo Music.
I Hear Banjos, yeah.
I was fixing to say it all depends on your motivation, Tracy.
My motivation as a black woman in this country is to stay the fuck alive.
Hence that kayak is right there, that canoe's right there. That's the escape, baby.
So there's no commitment or anything, but send me an email along the way. I'll just kind of keep track. If anybody'd be interested in, there could be a hell of a lot of work go into planning one of these things. And we don't have facilities quite as nice as what Kathy found there in the North Georgia mountains.
How about the Greenbrier,
Bob? Is there an airport in West Virginia?
Girls. Tracy, goddamn it, really?
Bob says you got to fly into Detroit to get to it. So hell, I'm just drive.
They just fly over real low and then you tuck and roll out of the plane.
Tracy, not only is there an airport where Bob is,
or get on a wood propeller plane, you know,
it rivals the airport at Pixley or Hooterville or wherever the hell.
Hey, watch it, Buster. I'll have you know the airport in Charleston, by God, has its very own Tudor's Biscuit World.
God damn, up there, man. I'll go to it. Shit,
I'm
so.
What more could you ask for in an airport?
I mean, you can get a Peppy there, and that's a big old cat head biscuit with several layers of pepperoni and some cheesy goo, and slap the top on top of the biscuit on that, and anybody can't be happy with that can't be happy.
Even on a one propeller airplane, right, Bob?
But seriously, in all seriousness, I mean being a horrible person aside, and a definite snob when it comes to certain traveling, but seriously though. Where would I fly into, and then how far after I flew in will it take me to travel to where you, to this River Gorge place where I could probably...
The canoe will meet you at the airport. Right there.
John will be paddling.
Tracy, it's
only... I'll be the one paddling.
It's a little bit of a booger paddling. It's a little bit of a booger paddling upstream in the New River through those rapids going the wrong way. But John's the man. If anybody can do it, John Britovo can do it.
I can snort a little Adderall, baby. I'll be like a motorboat.
Just keep an eye out for the cross-eyed dude playing the banjo, and he will put you in the right direction.
I'm loving the idea, that's Ross Perot. I always wanted to come to visit West Virginia only because of Bob, but I'm frightened. I mean, and rightfully so. I mean, come on. Like I said, the story. I recount the
Tracy, honey, I live in the hippest part of West Virginia. Okay, I mean. There are places here where you can be overcome by patchouli fumes.
Oh dear.
But to answer your question, you've got two basic choices. You've got Charleston or you got Beckley. And
Beckley
actually has
an airport. I'm not trying to be funny.
Yeah, with a longer runway than Charleston, I think. So you'd probably fly into Dulles, and then you'd catch a flight down to Beckley.
That's my only question because it's like.
Or you'd fly into Atlanta and catch a flight into Charleston.
Now, see, that might work because I can. What I could do, because I doubt if Jan's gonna let me do this again and leave her at home, but she just may. But we would fly into Atlanta and then drive to wherever. So we might turn that into a 2-week road trip. You never know. Because I love getting into a car on the East Coast and just going. I mean, the last time we did that, we flew into Atlanta and then we went up into Cherokee, North Carolina, Charlotte, North Carolina, Fayetteville, North Carolina. Then we drove down to Charleston, South Carolina, Savannah, Georgia. Then drove back up to Atlanta, Georgia, and from there we went to Chattanooga, Tennessee. So we put some serious miles on that rental car. So yeah, I, you know, I have no problems driving, but because I always hear your stories about trying to get a rental car, and I'm like, if I get somewhere and I can't get a fucking rental car, and it's
I just get bad rental cars because I rent over in Summersville. But at the airport in Charleston, Beckley, yeah, you're fine.
Let's back up. The airport in Beckley, is that an international airport, Bob?
No.
No, well, Charleston is.
No, it isn't.
Well,
it's not?
No.
Hey, Bob.
It's a regional airport.
Hey, time out. Okay. Let me do the ciphering real quick because we got a challenge on the table. First of all, thank you to Brendan for jumping in alongside Megan. That means Tracy's challenge got met. That means that we are down to $400 to go. Now,
price to pay for the entertainment you get here.
Well, thank you, John. Thank you very kindly.
I'm telling you.
A note coming from Charlene. Charlene says, "Let's get this train rolling. We don't have much time left. Here's a $50 challenge. When it's met, I'll add another $100.
Oh, wow.
Signed, Charlene of the Reverse Oreo Cookie Society in Rogue Island. Hi, Tracy.
Hi, Charlene.
Ain't that wonderful? That's great.
So there's a $50 challenge on the table. If that gets met, then that means 200 gets taken off of the 400, and that leaves us with 200 to go.
Well, there's somebody out there that's going to jump right in there, Bob.
I sure do, too.
I hope so. Bob, that's where I got confused. Raleigh-Durham, the one that's an hour north of me, is an international airport. And who would have thunk it?
Yeah. Let me check in. Megan says, Do I drive my car until the roads become impassable and then load my luggage onto my donkey's back and hike the rest of the way in? Yes, that's exactly what you do, Megan.
So if there's no international airports, you're talking commuter planes into either Beckley or Charleston then, correct?
Oh, fuck.
Yeah, there's little propeller. Them propeller ones.
See, Laurel says, do you really trust flying into a state whose most famous aviator is John Denver? Laurel, I love you, brother. No, there will be no cowbell for that. Because John Denver was not from West Virginia. John Denver was from Colorado. His name was John Dutchendorf of Colorado.
He ran out of gas, didn't he?
And he crashed his ultralight in California, goddammit. The most famous aviator in West Virginia is John Yeager. For whom the Charleston Airport is named.
Todd wants to.
Yeah, Todd.
Oh, Does Tracy know how scared she'll be if she flies to Charleston Airport and she looks down and goes, wow, this plane's going to land there? Because it's on the top of these two, it looks like two breaths. I don't know. That's the way it used to look to me.
Well, okay.
At the bottom of that hill. Wait, there's a hill. And it's like the airport's up there. And it's a convenience store. I was like, I better get some beer. So I slam through beers. I'm like, this keeps going straight up. And you get switchback. I'm like, what the fuck? So this airport. All right.
That's why on the planes that fly in and out of Charleston, they don't give you those cool nose cams from the airplane to see what it's like coming in, because it's pretty damn terrifying.
That's what the fuck I'm talking about.
So you're just looking out the side windows and you're okay. Plus, if you're coming in from Atlanta, you get a very nice commuter jet or an Airbus A320
propeller plane.
No, you only get the propeller. You only get the propeller plane flying in from Charlotte or DC.
I just have visions of a pterodactyl with a canvas covering and rickety fucking suits.
I've been there. I mean, I told the story the other night of flying in from D.C.
during early tornado season in February years ago, and that twin engine turboprop, I think it was a Saab, and it, you know, I was reading up on all the times they've just spontaneously fallen out of the goddamn sky. And you know we eventually had to dive into this cloud wall that had 3 hours earlier produced goddamn tornadoes, and you can hear, and I could hear the engines laboring. It was, and the little dude was on the wing out there, you know, pulling away the skin of the airplane, and the cup of Coca-Cola's eye level because we keep going into free fall when we go through turbulence and drop 10,000 feet in a second. Oh yeah.
Oh!
I have 23 years of experience in aircraft, Bob. I guarantee you there is not a single airplane flying that doesn't have some sort of problem on it. There's a gripe sheet. They're just waiting to get it into the hangar.
One of the reasons Agnes does not like to fly is that our flight out of Atlanta to Charleston, coming back from, oh God, Las Vegas maybe, was delayed because they said, the flight's going to be delayed because we've got, the plumbing's not working real well. And Agnes looked up and said, a likely story, the engine probably fell off.
Well, you know, them, especially with them turboprops, you have a big turbine engine out there putting out that thrust, and the propeller you see out there is just part of the air conditioning system, because if they stop spinning, the pilot starts sweating. You know,
so now, see, this is what's killing me, because now I'm thinking, am I going to have to take three goddamn flights to get to you? Oh, well, no.
L.A. to Atlanta, Atlanta to Charleston.
Tracy, are you insinuating that Bob would not be worth such an endeavor?
I think
of the joy, the pure joy you will experience.
Let me ask you, Bob, West Virginia. As much as I love
me some Bob, and Bob, you know, he is my white male boo. He is my horn husband.
Look at the food he's cooking.
I attest to it.
Hey,
you guys inspired me to do a challenge.
Time out. Update. Before you do that, Rick, update.
Yeah.
Darlene just wrote in, the sorority sisterhood of Leans will come through. I'll meet Charlene's challenge for $50. Hail Tracy, the sisterhood's queen.
Awesome.
Thank you, everybody.
You're a star,
thank
buddy. All right.
Hey, well, shame the men. Shame the goddamn men.
And now thanks to Joseph, we're down to 180.
Okay, nice. We're gonna do my challenge.
We're gonna swipe that.
Let Rick talk so we can do the challenge, y'all. Come on.
Yeah,
y'all.
I'm gonna do an Aunt Barb challenge. I lost my aunt to a very rapid case of pancreatic cancer this past Monday, early in the morning.
Wow.
Didn't find out until Tuesday afternoon she had died. The burial was midday in Chicago on Wednesday, so I could not make it to the funeral. So I ended up dedicating my pool match on Wednesday to her, and I played the best damn nine ball I ever have. And we won the first round of the playoffs. So in honor of Aunt Barb, I'm throwing in 30, and I'll double it if somebody matches it, okay?
That's tremendous, because that would take us down to 120 to finish the week, and I had no idea we could get that close considering the hole that we were in.
Thanks, Rick.
Sure, you betcha.
That was not real nuts, everybody.
My challenge was met, right?
Your challenge was met, Tracy.
$50 coming.
Okay, and Rick, my condolences to you on the loss of your aunt.
Yeah, she was a neat lady. She was only 78. She was a school teacher. She was a realtor. She taught school up until, Thanksgiving break. She traveled from Chicago to Brooklyn spend the Thanksgiving with one of her son's family out there in Brooklyn. And no signs of anything until she had to be hospitalized on the Sunday after Thanksgiving, dead on December 9th.
Sounds like she had a good life.
She was active until the end.
That kind of cancer take you out quick, man.
Yeah,
Yeah, yeah, she was afraid of doctors and hospitals and such. So, you know, she probably had symptoms and just ignored them, but nothing major, you know. So I just saw her on September 1st when my mom had her 80th birthday, and had some pictures of the three of them, the three sisters, and also the five siblings, all five of my mom's siblings, including herself, were at her birthday. So, you know, at least I got to spend time with her fairly recently, you know. But
oh, that's great, Rick. That's
yeah.
Her name coming out of your lips is she's you're carrying it on for her, brother. You're carrying.
Well,
it on
there
for
you
her.
Go.
Well, it's right, my personal theory is that memory is eternity.
That's yeah. It. That's what I'm alive as long as somebody remembers me.
Mm-hmm. Right.
You know? And that's how we live on. I guess that's the only thing I have to hope. And now I feel better about that because since I did the Blue Dot in Texas thing, at least there'll be something, you know, when somebody Googles my name, they'll find something.
Well, not just that. John, the fact of the matter is, and I've mentioned this on this program from time to time, you're leaving an archive. You're leaving something that people may find in an archaeological dig somewhere. You know, some, you know, like 10 million years from now, the 6-foot-tall race of sentient cockroaches who worship us as a
there
god
go, baby.
Push a button in a cave and a thing lights up and there stands John Britovo talking
and all
the 6-foot-tall cockroaches who now rule the earth fall to their knees and worship you, John Britovo, as a god.
I've made the big time, baby. All right. Now all I have to do is kick off, right? That's the plan here.
Well, don't get in a hurry.
No, John,
you're getting it wrong. You've got to keep building the archive.
Oh, baby, I'm building it. We have got a lot of material, Bob. You know it. We got a lot more coming. You all seen the news this evening. I'm sorry I was late. I didn't get here until I heard your wife laughing about something about a Lamborghini.
They'll laugh about that, too.
At the time, my ears perked up. But, no, I had to have some medical tests done this evening, so I was late because they are all late and all that shit. So, yeah, it's good timing on that conversation there.
So, John, I saw a poll that our boy Beto is number three among Democrats.
Yes, ain't that something? Isn't that something?
9%. He's number three. Just behind Bernie at 14, and Joe is 30.
I think they got, God damn it, Bernie's second. Somebody help me out first.
Biden.
Biden, Joe Biden. Joe Biden first, then him, and then Beto. Are you? That just tickled me to death. I saw him live this morning. He did a town hall, and I'm glad to see him still out there using his voice. And
that's cool.
So, yeah, I'm still upbeat for him. You know, whether he goes for the Senate or if he goes for the presidency. You know, if he goes for the presidency, I'm going to have a hard time not supporting him because I believe he could do it. I really believe he could, you know.
I have no problem because, you know, I got the National Quadrennial IQ, one question IQ test correct in 2016, 2012, 2008, 2004, 2000, 1996. Yeah. I've always gotten that one question IQ test right. So I feel confident in saying I would get it right in 2020. And of course, the right answer is to vote for whomever the Democrats run.
That is the number one thing right there.
But I gotta
this shit up
at the risk of being a little ray of sunshine.
That's you, Bob.
I gotta tell you, I'm already seeing way, way, way too many examples and evidences of a certain group of people who are more eager to pick at each other's scabs from 2016 than they are beat Donald Trump.
I don't want to go picking no scabs.
I don't want to go down
that.
We don't
need them anymore. We're just going to overwhelm Republicans with our numbers. Forget
now,
about the purity brigade. Fuck them.
We forge ahead by doing exactly what we've been doing, pushing the progressive values that we believe in, and just keep that going forward.
Exactly. And you know, John, I don't think you and I are going to have to do super soakers at 30 feet. 30 paces along the banks of the Nueces River or anything. But I don't see anybody in Texas but Beto who can take out John Cornhole.
No. Beto, I think on the next try will do it. People saw him for what he was, and then after the election, okay, Ted Cruz wins, but what's the talk? The talk isn't about, oh, look at Ted Cruz. Shit, no, it's still about, hey, look at Beto.
Right.
And it's the same conversation right here in Texas. That man's name is still on people's lips. So, yes, I agree. If he goes for senator, you bet your butt I think he would win this time, hands
and
down.
And the idea, and I don't know who it would be, but finding a viable contender against chinless Mitch McConnell in Kentucky and cut that two-headed snake off at one stroke in November 2020.
I'm just looking forward to the investigation on his ass.
Isn't the mayor of Louisville, Kentucky, a rather okay candidate? I forget his name, but there was some talk that he was going to run for a higher, you know, a statewide federal office in Kentucky.
Yeah, well, you know, he's pretty good. I know Ashley Judd was
this wave, I'm calling it now, it's a blue ocean, baby, and we keep swelling it up. That push needs to continue. Because 2020 is not just about the president. There's going to be a whole lot of Senate.
Right, we got a blue wave in 2018. In 2020,
yes, we got a wave.
In 2020, I want a blue NAMI. And I'm coining the term now, blue NAMI.
And I think it's going to happen. The more this scum piece of crap we have in our house right now, the more scum they pack on top of him. The fewer Republicans are going to be standing there to defend that shit.
Yeah, the sense is getting unbearable, even for Republicans.
Yes, and it's happening now. There's a lot of Republicans now that are backing off.
The nice thing about it, impeachment would be a mistake.
A resolution against Mohammed bin Slice and Dice guy. You know, and that's against what Donnie wants.
Wait a minute.
You know, so
Mohammed bin that's for Mohammed bin Slice and Dice.
Oh, jeez.
Hey, Bob.
Yeah, Tracy.
Quick question. Okay, because I do shit like this, so I actually punched in, you know, L.A. to Charlotte, Charleston, West Virginia, to fly there, and it's not that bad. It's like $450, you know. I got to tell you.
See, if you fly to Charlotte and then fly to Charleston, You're gonna get on the airplane.
The propeller special. This was from L.A. to Atlanta to Charleston.
Oh, you said Charlotte. You said Charlotte before. No, L.A.
You'll get a nice
pleasant commuter jet from Atlanta to Charleston.
How long does it take to drive from Atlanta to wherever you live?
9 hours.
That's not terrible.
I've got a question that'll settle it for me.
Well, hey, time out, Scott. Before we go there, let me just update real quick. We got 7 minutes and a $30 challenge on the table, courtesy of Billable Rick. So I was just putting that out there, and that'll get us down to ending the week only $120 behind. So thank you, everybody, for that.
Commuter jet from Atlanta?
Yeah.
So that's a plane. If you got to pee, they ain't nowhere to go.
No. It's got a restroom on it. It's like a one of those.
There's a bucket in the back.
One of those Canadairs.
A hole on the side of the plane.
What are they? Bombardier.
Where it depends. Just let her fly.
Yeah, like Bombardier. I think is the name of the company. Bombardier.
Oh, okay.
But there's at least one fly today that's a nice, comfy Airbus A320.
Okay.
Well,
nice.
Let me point of order. Will you entertain a question?
I will entertain a question. The chair will entertain.
At long last, won't you entertain a question? Does Qantas fly there? That's all I want to know.
Qantas has never crashed. That's right, Raymond. but sadly, they don't fly into Charleston.
Good. Damn it.
Let's put it this way. If you come in via Atlanta, you'll come on Delta. If you come in via Chicago, you'll come in on American combination of American and U.S. Scare. Something similar via Charlotte.
No JetBlue, no Southwest.
No, Southwest, no JetBlue. Mm-mm, sorry.
I wanted to piggyback on what John was saying about 2020 and Beto and the rest. One of the good things that we forget, not only will it be the effect of the mountain of scum dumped on Trump or created by Trump for 2020 that'll move us in the right direction, but there's the momentum of 2018.
Yes.
That inspires more people to say, well, hey, look, we did it once, we can do it again, only in a bigger, better way.
I remind people down here in Texas, we thrive on a loss, baby. That's why we got the call. Remember the Alamo. We didn't win the Alamo, but it gave us a reason to fight forward, baby. It gave us a reason.
And the next thing you know, Santa Ana's sitting under the Charter Oak, and Sam Houston saying, you can, and Sam Houston saying, you can either sign that there paper or hang from that there tree.
There you go. You got a choice. Well, like everybody in life, you got a choice.
My question for Bob, and it's a serious question, when you say you'll support the Democrat, how does that fit in, the nominee, how does that fit in with the under 70 pledge?
Well, I mean, if I have to vote for a septuagenarian, I will. What I said on Facebook, and it got me no small amount of shit,
I noticed,
is that I don't.
Did it. You opened up a world of shit on that one.
But I was saying is, I don't want a septuagenarian or octogenarian presidential nominee. I will vote for one if that is the choice that's given to me. But yeah. You know, we've how many lessons do we need? Okay, Ronald Reagan was crazier than a shithouse rat.
Amen.
When he left, and Ronald Reagan was younger by about a year when he left than Bernie would be entering the White House.
Yeah.
Bernie would turn 80 in his first term in office.
And I don't want to downplay Bernie at all. Bernie brought a lot to the campaign.
I'm not gooning on Bernie at all, John.
But there are others that are pushing that same progressive line. I mean, Bernie's not the only one. It's the ideal that goes forward. It's not the person, you know. And like Bob says, if they put a 90-year up there on the Democratic side, well, that's the guy I'm voting for, baby.
90-year-old old yeller dog, and that 90-year-old old yeller dog is getting my vote, right? Yeah.
That's right. That's right. Because I'm not going to give a quarter to the other side. Because look where they have been willing to go and take it all the way back from what Bob just said. You look it back from Reagan. Reagan is the one that started the change on the Republican Party that brought you Donald Trump.
Right, but you know, there's a lesson involved, John, because we had Reagan, madder than a shithouse rat, leaving the White House, and we got Donald Trump, who's crazier than a shithouse rat, not 2 years into his first term, and he's 74. And the only argument that I've made, and I'm probably going to piss off a bunch of people again, and I'm not trying
to. Well, that's our job, Bob.
I'm just suggesting that there are odds at work here, okay? There are statistical relevances at work here. And see, the sad thing is, most of the names that get mentioned, Bernie, Hillary, Joe Biden, Elizabeth Warren.
Yeah.
Hell, Sherrod Brown would turn 70 in the White House.
And that's not to degrade any one of those people for doing what they have in the past.
No, I've been accused of ageism over it. Hell, I'm a geezer, okay?
Yeah, well, yeah, me and you, Bub.
It's a hard job being president. I mean, you know, it helps to be a little younger. Like Obama was perfect as far as the age.
Wait a minute.
Went from a constitutional lawyer to a moron.
So I gotta award a quick cowbell. This goes out to Marty. Stop not trying to piss us off, Bob.
That's right, John. That's right.
Stop not trying to piss us off, Bob. Yeah.
Go ahead,
and I've got tremendous news. Mark in Florida, if Billable Rick's challenge gets met, Mark in Florida just took out the rest of the week's deficit.
I'm telling you, you can't.
So we are billable, Rick.
Well spent, folks.
I'm assuming my challenge is met. I'm hitting the button right now. Here comes 60 to you, Bob.
Oh.
Then that leaves $30.
Yeah.
So thank you very kindly. Unfortunately, I got to bail out this. I got to bail out now because I'm filling in for Malloy here in an hour or so. And I hope everybody will listen in on. You know, we don't have the video thing going here, but I'm hoping everybody will listen in on Progressive Voices on TuneIn. That'll be profound. It's great for my ego. That's a joke. I'm an egomaniac.
You're just a shining star out there, Bob.
Well thank you, John. Thank you.
Look at what happened. We just knocked that all the way down to $30. Shit.
Yep. And now it's down to 20.
There you go. Who just bumped in that tent?
I think that's our buddy Brother Alexander.
Thank you, Brother Alexander.
Thank you so much. So that leaves $20. Thanks to everybody who jumped in this evening. John, I'm glad you could make it in, and thanks for everybody.
I'm sorry I was late.
Thanks for everybody putting up with me absolutely ineptly running the front porch. I can never do as well as Sparky does. Hey, Todd, it was great having you on the conversation. I'm going to cogitate further on this ham business. Thank you, Dennis, for joining in. Thank you, John and Billable Rick. Thank you. Thank you, Scott in San Diego. Thank you, Steve from Georgistan. Thank you, Tracy. Thanks, Otto there. Otto was in for a little bit. I don't know how he dropped out, but thank you one and all for joining in. You make Friday on the Front Porch an absolute freaking joy, and I wish we had another hour of this right now. I sincerely do. There's one thing I want to do before we close the program. You know, from time to time, I mentioned that line that is uttered by Willie Loman's wife at the end of Death of a Salesman. Attention must be paid. And so I offer a list to you to close the program. Charlotte, age 6. Daniel, age 7. Olivia, age 6. Josephine, age 7. Dylan, age 6. Madeline, 6. Catherine, 6. Chase, 7. Jesse, 6. Anna, 6. James, 6. Grace, 7. Emily, 6. Jack, 6. Noah, 6. Caroline, 6. Jessica, 6. Aviel, 6. Benjamin, 6. Allison, 6. Rachel, 29. Dawn, 47. Anne, 52. Lauren, 30. Mary, 56, and Victoria, 27. Those are the names of our fellow Americans who, with the connivance of the National Rifle Association, gun manufacturers, and their pet creatures in the Congress of the United States and state legislatures all over the country. Those are the fellow Americans who, in the cases of the adults, never got to grow old, and in the case of the children, never got to grow up from the massacre at Sandy Hook. Today is the 6th anniversary of that horror. And if there is one thing and one thing only that this Congress does, although they have a heck of a to-do list, we have got to do something so that we stop having to read names like this. They would, all those children would be either 12 or 13 now. Just a couple of years older than my granddaughter. And I cannot provide words adequate to the fury that attends this country's refusal to do a damn thing about it thus far, the disdain, the disrespect, and the utter contempt that I feel for every Republican or Democrat who has ever said, well, the Second Amendment's more important than having a little Josephine get to be an 8-year-old after being a 7-year-old. Remember them. Remember them and try to remember them with the love that their parents knew for them. And when you get active, be an activist for their memories, because attention must be paid. And yes, memory is eternity. Thank you, everybody. Thank you to all of you who keep this program on the air. Thank you to all of you who share your precious finite time engaged in the program. Thank you to our all-volunteer staff. Get well soon, Sparky. Thank you this evening, Steve from Georgia Stan in the chat room. Thank you to our news ninjas. Thank you, Brother Deacon Asa. Thank you, John Fox in Australia. Thank you, Ben Birch, WhiteRoseSociety.org. Thank you to the hardest-working, bravest people I know, the men and women of Coal River Mountain Watch, CRMW.net. And always, 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 Gina, it's all for you. Have a great weekend, everybody. Later. Join me on Malloy in about 50 minutes.